This evening, we're looking at chapter 11 of our study, opening up Proverbs. And tonight's theme is on the wisdom of bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And just looking around in our culture, I think we can see that this is a very important topic, because raising up the next generation is not ultimately the responsibility of the government or of the schools or even of the churches, the Sunday school classrooms. Those things can all be a part of it, but ultimately the responsibility for raising the next generation falls on the parents. And so Proverbs spends a lot of time on this theme, talking, giving truths of a father to a son, how a son should respond to his father, how parents should discipline and train their children. And so it's a very, very important topic in Proverbs. And so it's something that we should think about. And I know that as we think about this tonight, many of you might think, well, I don't have children at home anymore. Well, that's probably true, but there are still some principles here that we can still apply in our lives, whether it be as grandparents, whether it be to even our older children, to continue to serve as counselors to them, whether it be even within the church, to serve as fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters within the family of God. And so there are some things that we can apply, even if we don't still have children at home, that directly apply to some of these situations. And so Proverbs teaches us that it is the parents' responsibility to teach their children, to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. And one of the things that Proverbs emphasizes is that parents need to discipline their children. And why is that necessary? Why is discipline important? Well, because children are foolish, right? Children have foolishness bound up in their hearts. And if you just let children go and don't discipline them and don't guide them, don't seek to mold them, then he gives the illustration in the chapter of basically a garden that's untended. If you do nothing with a garden, what's going to happen? Weeds and thistles and thorns, and it's just going to be taken over, and it's not going to produce anything of value. That's what happens to gardens in a fallen world. Well, our hearts are sinful, are they not? Some people would say that we, when we're born with a blank slate. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when we're born with an inclination already to sin. We're born with an inclination to do wrong. Proverbs even says that that from the youth, they go forth speaking lies and go off into foolishness. Foolishness is bound up, Proverbs says, in the heart of a child. But discipline can drive that foolishness out. And so we need to remember, just theologically, that human beings are sinful. Children are sinful. Proverbs teaches us that we need to discipline our children. And I'm not going to run through all these, but in the chapter, he lists a long list of characteristics of foolishness that can go on in a young person's life if they're not trained, if they're not disciplined. Things like being self-centered, being quick-tempered, prone to anger, lazy, stubborn, unreliable, deceptive. They steal. They lie. They don't know how to handle their money. They're immoral. They don't have self-control. They're gluttons. They abuse intoxicating substances. All these things Proverbs speaks about. And these are aspects of foolishness in a young person's life. And so discipline is God's tool to drive that foolishness out of a child's life. And one of the ways that God has given to parents, one of the tools that he has given to us, is physical discipline. The rod of correction, or the rod of discipline, that Proverbs talks about. Now, I know that just across the world, across our American culture, there's very little corporal punishment that takes place anymore. There's very little spanking that takes place. Very, very little paddling. Most parents don't paddle their children, correct their children with corporal punishment. But Proverbs says that it's important that parents exercise this tool that God has given to us, because especially when a child is young, it's a very effective tool in driving foolish behavior out of them. And obviously, we want to do it in the right way. And when you're doing physical discipline or corporal punishment, it is easy to do it incorrectly. And so I think we've let the pendulum swing too far the other way. So we've seen abuses of physical discipline. And so our culture has said, okay, we're not going to do it at all. But I don't think that's the right reaction either. I think we need to do physical discipline, but we need to do it in a right way. So not in anger. Don't exercise discipline on your children when you're out of control. Make sure that you're not in anger, that you're not out of control. Make sure that it's being done with bringing in words of instruction, words of scripture, the wisdom of God to help explain what is right and wrong and what the reason is for the discipline. Do it in love and compassion. Really, it's a teaching tool. And so it should not be done as a reaction, as something that we do in anger, but as something that we try to do very faithfully and consistently when there is clear sin, clear rebellion going on in a child's heart. And really, this is one of the hardest things that we do. It's a test of our love for our children, and it's a test of our trust in God. Because Proverbs says that if we don't discipline our children, then we're not showing them love. We're not showing them love because we're basically saying if we don't discipline them, if we don't train them, if we don't try to shape and mold them according to God's wisdom, basically we're saying to them, I don't care how you turn out. I don't care if you become a responsible adult. I don't care what you are later in life. And that's not really what we think, is it? I mean, almost all parents do care how their children turn out. They want them to become good citizens. If they're Christians, they want them to become followers of the Lord. But sometimes they don't follow through on that desire, and they don't discipline as they ought to. And so Proverbs says in Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And even he mentions there in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, that this is modeled after the Lord's love for us. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. So God chastens his own children, and we are to follow in that pattern and love our children enough to discipline them and shape them. And this also requires trust in God, especially in our modern culture, because our modern culture says you shouldn't do that at all. So it comes down to a matter of trust. Are we going to trust the psychologist and the child psychologist, or are we going to trust the wisdom of God's word in this matter? So we need to trust God, and we need to show love to our children by caring enough about them to discipline them. And so how do we carry it out? Well, we need to carry it out with consistency. And I don't know about you, but as a parent, that's one of the things that I probably struggle with the most, is being consistent. It's hard to do, isn't it? To be consistent, to every time that they do something wrong, to consistently administer a discipline, that punishment, that to teach them what is right and wrong. It's hard to be consistent, but we need to try to be consistent. We need to try to be faithful and diligent in discipline. And as I mentioned before, it should not be done in anger. So we shouldn't misuse discipline. One of the things that he says is to make sure that when we use discipline, we're doing it for actual sins, actual disobedience, not for just mistakes. And he gives the example of if your child is, you know, just clumsy and knocks over a glass of milk, that's not something that is worthy of a punishment. That's an accident. But he says, but if they took up their glass of milk, looked you in the eye and threw it across the room, you know, that's an overt act of rebellion, of disobedience against you. So he makes a distinction between accidental mistakes that are just part of growing up and being a child versus defiance and rebellion and not obeying your words. So discipline them for actual disobedience and rebellion. And he also says to apply both the rod and reproof. That is to bring in instruction, to bring in verbal teaching along with the physical punishment so that they understand why this is happening and what right and wrong is. So use discipline. It's a part of the toolbox that God has given to us. Another essential part of the toolbox that God has given to us is just teaching them wisdom. Teach them the word of God. Teach them truths. Teach them things that you've learned throughout your life. Teach them things that you've learned by experience. But we have the responsibility to teach them. And the best place for that to happen is in the home. In the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says that fathers should teach their children at all times. When they sit down at the dinner table, as they're walking down the road, at bedtime, at morning time. In other words, just all kinds of different times of the day. There are these different opportunities that present themselves in which we can apply God's wisdom to different situations. We need to do this. We need to be faithful in teaching our children in the home and not just leave it up to the responsibility of the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the school teacher. We as parents need to see it as our primary responsibility. And the goal of this is to shape character. Shape character. Because what we want to do is we don't just want them to conform to our rules for 18 years and then not have any character built into their heart when they leave. So we want more than just behavioralism, right? Of just rule keeping. We want something deeper than that. We want something that's more anchored in their heart that they can go back to when they have to make their own decisions in life. Especially when they're young, we want to teach them right behaviors. But as they get older, we want to teach them why. What's the reason why? Teach them habits. Teach them routines. Teach them character. So that teach them responsibility. Teach them how to handle their money. Teach them how to respond in different situations so that when they leave home to go to college or they get a job or they get married, they know how to act when there's no authority figure over them because they have a heart that's been trained and disciplined. And this can happen in formal ways and informal ways. Formal ways might be, you know, let's all sit down as a family and read the scriptures, or let's have a time of family worship, or let's all as a family go to the Lord's house and hear the instruction of the Lord. Those are more formal times, but you also have informal times that just happen, right? They just happen. Maybe you're fishing together and you're just sitting in a boat waiting for something to bite and your son asks you a question. That's an informal time. It just happens. It just comes up. Or you're driving down the road and your son or daughter says something, or they say that they tell you something that happened in school. Those are teachable moments. Those are more informal, but we need to take advantage of those too. And so we need to discipline, we need to teach and instruct. And then children have responsibilities too in this relationship. And that is, Proverbs teaches children that they should honor their parents. And one of the things that Proverbs teaches about how to express that honor is to welcome the instruction and welcome the discipline that their parents are giving to them. And Proverbs teaches young people, essentially, don't make your parents' job harder by resisting and by hating the instruction and the discipline that they're lovingly trying to give you. Instead, you should see that as a gift from God that they're trying to help you and prepare you for life, prepare you to walk in God's ways. And so Proverbs teaches the young person to welcome that, to embrace it. Young people should be listening carefully to the teaching, to the example of their parents, express appreciation for it, acknowledge their failures when they do wrong, ask for forgiveness, but honor your parents by embracing the discipline and instruction that they give. Proverbs also has much to say about honoring our parents as they age, taking care of them. And we see families, we see culture getting away from this more and more, don't we? Where it seems like more and more children are not taking care of their parents in their old age. And I'm not saying that putting parents in a nursing home is all the time wrong. I mean, that might be the best situation to provide for their best care. But don't put them in a nursing home and then forget about them. Don't, you know, we still need to honor them. They brought you into this world. They trained you. They provided for you for almost 20 years of your life. How wrong is it then for a young person at the end of their life for them to just neglect their parents, neglect their family? Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8 that someone who doesn't provide for his own family, for his own relatives, is worse than an unbeliever. And so we should honor our parents, obviously through obedience when we're young, but even after we age and have our own families and our parents get older, we can still honor them. We can honor them in many different ways by caring for them all the way to the end of their lives. And a child who embraces wisdom, a child who embraces the instruction of their parents, brings joy to them. Brings joy. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." So, children, you can bring joy to your parents by respecting them, by giving them honor, by welcoming the instruction that they're trying to give you. And Proverbs also says that if young people don't honor their parents, then there are consequences for that. For example, Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, "He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in utter darkness." Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." In other words, punishment, destruction, judgment of God on those who do not care for their parents in this way. And really, it's a major command of God, isn't it? Honoring your father and mother. It's enshrined in the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's at the heart of the Ten Commandments. In terms of the commands that relate to God and the commands that relate to people, it is the number one command that relates to people. So you have four commands that relate directly to our worship of God. And then commandment number five, which begins the commands in relationship to other people, it starts with our own families. Honor our father and mother. And there is the judgment of God to those that don't. And then he finishes the lesson with a question that a lot of parents have asked themselves, and that is, why do some children go astray? Why do some children go off the path? And doesn't Proverbs guarantee wise children if we teach them wise things? For example, Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." The problem is sometimes we interpret that as an absolute and unconditional promise. But that's not how Proverbs operate. Proverbs, these short sayings, they're intended to be short sayings that are generally applicable in life. And so generally speaking, if you train your children the right way, then they'll end up the right way. But there are some things that are outside of our control, right? As parents, there are some things outside of our control. I mean, we can discipline them the best way that we know how. We can give the rod of correction perfectly, lovingly, consistently, under control throughout their childhood lives. We can teach them the word of God. We can provide a good example for them, and they could still wander off the path. Because ultimately, we are not in charge of their hearts. So we can put all the right ingredients in, and still their hearts can be rebellious. And so we need to not put Proverbs 22:6 upon us as some kind of a burden. As if our children go wayward when they grow up, that somehow we've done something wrong. Well, in a sense, every parent's done something wrong, right? I mean, none of us are perfect. So even the best parents have done things wrong in the way that they've brought up their children. But Proverbs 22:6 sometimes is used as people sometimes beat themselves up over it because of how their children have ended up, and they bring a lot of guilt on themselves by thinking, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Maybe if I had done this differently, or maybe if I had been a better example in this, then maybe they would have turned out differently. And while some of that may be true, it's also true that their hearts are their own hearts. And their hearts may be hard and rebellious. And regardless of what you may have done, they may have ended up the wrong way. Consider Cain and Abel. Here you have Cain and Abel raised by the same parents, right? Adam and Eve. And yet Cain was rebellious and murdered his brother, but Abel was a man of faith and brought an acceptable offering before the Lord. Two completely different people, yet raised in the same home. And you've seen this probably even in your own experience, where you can have two children in the same home and they turn out completely differently. So it's not all on the parents. We have a responsibility to train up our children correctly, but our children also have a responsibility to respond correctly to the training that they're given. And so Proverbs 22:6 is not an absolute promise. It's a general truth of life. But there are circumstances that it doesn't necessarily factor in. Why do our kids turn out the way that they do then? He gives three things that factor into how our kids turn out. One is us and our training of them, our teaching of them, our disciplining of them. But also another factor is the children themselves. They're responsible for the choices they make. We can teach them, but they can reject that teaching. We're also not fully in control of all the other influences that they may have in their lives, such as classmates, friends, other relatives. We're not fully in control of those all those other influences. And so our children have a responsibility themselves for the choices that they make. A rebellious child whose life is a mess should never come back to a father or mother and say, well, if you had done a better job, I wouldn't have ended up like this. That's not the right response, is it? That person needs to take responsibility for their own actions and recognize that they have made bad choices that have brought them to this point, and not try to pass the responsibility on to somebody else. So why do kids turn out the way they do? Well, one is what we put into them as parents, but two, they have a responsibility themselves to receive or reject God's truth. But the third element of it is God and his work of grace. God can soften a child's heart, and he can bring somebody to them to share the gospel with them, and he can open their eyes to see it and believe, even if they came from a bad home, and he can radically change their lives through the gospel. Same thing with a kid that's brought up in a Christian home. His heart may remain hardened. You know, even though he had Christian parents, that doesn't necessarily mean that every child is going to be a Christian in his own heart. And so some of this has to do with God's grace and how it works in the hearts and lives of people. Parenting is tough, isn't it? Parenting is tough. It's difficult business. And it involves so many factors, because it involves the parents who are not perfect. It involves the children who are not perfect. It involves living in an imperfect world with all kinds of things that go on in our lives and around us. But all Proverbs is trying to teach us is, you know, we can't control every situation. We can't control every outcome. But here are the principles that of wisdom that we need to try to apply in our lives the best that we can in God's grace. And when we do, God's blessings often flow in those situations. Really, when it comes to parenting, we need to try to do the best that we can to do it according to God's truth. But we also need prayer, and we need his grace to help us to do that. And we need his work in their hearts. And so the conclusion is really just to train our children, train them in wisdom, to be proactive about that. And just as a closing thought, he concludes with a quote from Jerry Bridges, where he says, "Most people deal with their children as if they were born only for the world. They educate them for time, not for eternity." And just as a way to kind of bring this to a close is, when you ask parents how their children are doing, even like adult children, how are your kids doing if they've moved off, what do you hear about them? Well, you hear about what job they're doing, how well, how they're about their family, their house, you know, how their career is going. But those aren't really the most important things, are they? The most important things are they prepared for eternity? Are they growing in wisdom? Are they seeking God's kingdom? And as Christians, you know, that's really the best compliment that we could ever hear, is that, or the best, bring joy to our hearts when we can be able to say to someone that my son or daughter is living for the Lord. They're seeking to follow the Lord. They're seeking to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the greatest joy to a parent. So may God help us. May he give us grace to put this into practice in our lives, because we need his grace. Let's pray together. Father, you have been so good to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a father to us, that you have brought us into the family of God. We thank you that you are a father to the fatherless, that you care for us as a loving father who disciplines us. Lord, teach us to model our parenting skills, our parenting character after your own. Help us to be good parents, be good grandparents. Help us to be good models and mentors in the church. Help us to be good friends, good companions. Help us to be, Lord, people that care about one another and seek to influence each other in the right way. Lord, we thank you for what you do in our lives, and we ask that you just watch over us, bless us, Lord. Help us to walk in your wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.